Bible today, 1 Timothy chapter 5, verse 1, rebuke not an elder, but entreat him as a father, and the younger men as brethren, the elder widow, the elder woman as mothers, the younger sisters with all purity. Honor widows that are widows indeed. But if any widow have children or grandchildren, let them learn first to show piety at home and to requite their parents, for this is good and acceptable before God. Now she that is a widow indeed and desolate trusteth in God and continueth in supplications and prayers night and day. But she that liveth in pleasure is dead while she liveth. Notice verse 8. But if any provide not for his own, and especially for those of his own house, he hath denied the faith, and is worse than an infidel or an unbeliever. Now there are a number of qualities of this sister indeed in verse 9, and those different ifs and so on. For example, at the end of verse 9, verse 10, if she have diligently followed every good work, but the younger widows refuse, for when they have begun to wax wanton against Christ, they will marry. Notice verse 14, I will therefore that the younger woman marry, bear children, guide the house, give not occasion to the adversary to speak reproachfully, for some are already turned aside after Satan. Now notice the change in verse 17, let the elders that lead well be counted worthy of double honor, especially they who labor in the word and doctrine. And then the two scriptures to back it up, Deuteronomy 25 and Luke chapter 10, verse 19. Against an elder, receive not an accusation, but before two or three witnesses. Them that sin rebuke before all, that others may fear. I charge thee before God and the Lord Jesus Christ and the elect angels that thou observe these things without preparing one before another, doing nothing by partiality. Lay hands suddenly on no one, neither be partaker of other men's sins. Keep thyself pure. Verse 24, some men's sins are open beforehand, going before to judgment, and some men they follow after. Likewise also the good works of some are manifest beforehand, they that are otherwise cannot be hid. Now that's all we'll read this morning by way of opening this session. Of recent times, these portions of Holy Scripture have really searched our own hearts. And we believe that it's timely to give a little practical word today at this conference relative to our behavior in the house of God. I would like to suggest that in this chapter 5 of 1 Timothy, that one word would sum up the content. Behavior. That equates exactly with the key verse of 1 Timothy chapter 3 verse 15, Paul to Timothy. A spiritual young man. And his father in the faith says, Timothy, I'm away from Ephesus, but I'm hoping to go to Ephesus. And if I am delayed, I want you to do something that you will know how you ought to behave yourself in house of God, which is pillar and stay of the truth. Now, Mr. Newberry, as you know, changes that. And he says, he makes it generic for all of us. That one may know how one ought us to behave oneself in house of God. Beloved, today, here's a very, very simple, practical observation that in God's assembly, none of us can do what we like. There are certain guidelines for all of us. From the most mature brother and sister and godly to the youngest. Now to meet that need then, I want to just very briefly and simply suggest to this audience this morning that 1 Timothy chapter 5 divides into three simple sections. Now keep your Bible handy and I'll point them out to you. No doubt there are other ways of dividing it, but recently I've been really struck with this simple division. I would like to give it to you as a framework this morning for what we have to say. For example, verses 1 and 2, relationships in the assembly. We'll see about that in a minute. And then verses 3 through 11, the whole 3 through 16. The whole subject is widows. And the context shows, as we'll see in a minute, it's the registration of widows for financial support. That's the context of that section. And then verses 17 through 25 is the recognition of elders in the assembly. And if I have read this correctly, those verses that are at the end of the section refer to elders. I know that principles are taught in all three sections for all of us. But there's relationships in the assembly, verses 1 and 2. There's the registration of widows in the assembly at Ephesus, 3 to 16. And then there's recognition of elders in the assembly. Acts chapter 20, for example, and verse number 28 would show that in Corinth and in Ephesus and every other assembly that Paul was privileged to establish to the glory of Christ, among the believers were those that had a care for the saints, a shepherd heart, called in this section elders. Now, I want to suggest that in each of these three sections, there are four categories. And I want to be very, very simple this morning that everyone will understand. Notice that in verses 1 and 2 in relationships, four categories lying right in the surface. Elder man, younger man, elder woman, and younger sisters. Now here's my first point. Did ever you notice now that in this section, verses 1 and 2 of this chapter, the age groups are not mentioned? Older man. What age would you have to be an older man? See the way the Spirit of God leaves that open? And then, of course, our beloved sisters in the Lord, older woman, elder woman. What a woman's secrets as she moves down the pathway of life is her age. And there are likely some sitting here today and you wouldn't want to tell anyone what your age is. Well then, fair enough. See the way the Spirit of God leaves that open? So in this audience today, all of us, there are four categories in God's assembly. And in one of these four categories today, you and I are found. Older brethren, younger brethren, older sisters, younger sisters. Now we're weak, beloved saints of God, in this area, in assembly life, from this standpoint, to know how to handle and treat one another. That's why I have written over the chapter behavior. How to treat older folk, and how to treat younger folk, and how to treat your peers. Out there in the world, there's no respect for older people. But it says right here, Timothy has a function to perform at Ephesus. And if you don't know the background, let me sum it up and say this about it. There were those at Corinth at Ephesus at this particular time, and they had a measure of wrong doctrine. One of the functions of Timothy was to tell these folk at Ephesus, charge some that they teach no other doctrine. And when it got into this difficulty, he would likely could be looked on as a younger person. And he might be tempted, as he looks at older people, to rebuke them. And as most of you know, the word here for elder in verse 1 of chapter 5 of 1 Timothy, it's a mature person. It's not one necessarily that accepts responsibility as a guide in the assembly. They're included. But older men, I hope today all of us know how to treat older people. The world in which we live, there's no respect for anyone. Every person's doing what's right in their own eyes out there today. And when folk get to a certain age group, they have no time for them. Ah, it's not like that in God's assembly. We entreat our elder brethren as our father, the one that brought us into the world. It's a very good test for all of us. Much more could be said. What about younger men? Now let me use Timothy as an example. Timothy was a godly young man, as we have understood from other scriptures and even from 1 Timothy. He had a responsibility to fulfill as an apostolic delegate at that particular time, and he could look at maybe those of his own age group and be tempted to give a wrong attitude to those who were their peers. He might think in his own mind that he's better than his peer. And in God's assembly, it can happen even in 1996, that some folk might look at their peers, whatever age group they may be in, and think that they are better than the other. Philippians 2 comes to mind right away. Let each one esteem the other better than themselves. How are you getting along with your peers? In the broad sense of the word today, there's a great stress on peer pressure. And that comes into the assembly life. Oh, that we might treat our fellow believers as those that have been bought with precious blood and are precious in his sight. How about our elder sisters? Timothy has to know how to handle older women. We need to know the same. What he says here, as far as they're concerned, he's got to relate to them as their mother. And mind you, 2 Timothy shows what kind of a person Timothy's mother was and grandmother. Beloved, today, a wee word of exhortation to those of us who are younger. Do you know how to treat older women? I would like to say this about it. Let's be courteous. young friend here today, always take time to talk to an older sister in God's assembly. Older men in the old country taught us years ago, if you're going to win the confidence of God's people, you need to know how to treat older women. Be kind to them and helpful in whatever way possible. God will richly bless you. Now Timothy, he's back, Paul back to Timothy again. He says, now you better know how to treat younger women as sisters with all purity. And as far as I can gather, Timothy was never married. If he was, there's no record of it. But Paul can see that in his service in Ephesus, Timothy would need to know how to treat younger women. Beloved brother, today in Christ, I hope you know how to treat younger women. And if you're single here today, and maybe intending to have a partner that one day you will marry and become your wife, we just throw a bow at a venture. I don't know about anyone's circumstances here today. But young friend, you can't just have a trial and error run in the field and try and draw out the affections of a young sister and then dump her and go to somebody else and so on and so forth. It's a very, very important matter. If you're going to win the confidence of God's people, that you don't become a flirt. Word to the wise is sufficient. And then with all purity, and in the chapter it says, keep thyself pure. There's no one today in God's fair creation like our sisters, who in their deportment and in their dress, they make a declaration of character as how they dress. With their long hair and with their head covered. Dignified as they move for the Lord Jesus. A word to you young sisters. You need to know how to dress. That you don't unduly draw the passions of the opposite sex. You can get into difficulties. It's a very, very delicate area. I've just made a few suggestions. You all know what I'm talking about. The Lord help us and preserve us and keep us. We're living in a corrupt world. The values out there are going down. Nothing is absolute. But in God's assembly, there's a testimony to the glory of Christ. And in interpersonal relationships, we need to know how to treat one another and have relationships in the assembly to the glory of God. And older brethren should always try to encourage younger men. It's very, very important. Beloved, today, the lifeline of the assemblies are younger men who are coming on, and our younger sisters too. Always take time to help them. And let me just say a quick word now about the center section. Widows. Now, I don't know how you look at the widows. I'll just summarize it. Let me give a little background in case there might be someone here where you don't understand what the passage is about. You see, in apostolic days, when Paul was living on earth and Timothy was there in a large assembly at Ephesus, there were a number of widows in the assembly. There was no social security. There were no widows' pensions. There was seemingly no social support. And what he's trying to teach is that in the assemblies at that particular time, and Ephesus is one of them, there was a registration where widows were placed on that registration list. And the assembly there had a responsibility to support them in a financial way. And the whole argument in the passage is this. He's been selective. Paul has been selective to Timothy as to who will be on that list. And he gives certain qualifications for those that will make the list and for those that won't make the list. And there are at least four categories. Now, there might be more, but there are at least four. Now, let me point out to you, if you have your Bible open in front of you, and point out to you, for example, in verse number 3, the widow indeed. And then in verse number 5, the widow indeed. And then in verse 16, widows indeed. Now that's one class. And summarizing up the teaching of all those verses that refer to that particular class of widow. She's godly. She has no living relations. She's over 60 years of age. She has fed the saints. Her home is open in hospitality. She has relieved the afflicted. She has helped along the way of life. What an outstanding sister she is. She's a widow indeed. And in this sense, she's a real widow. She's lonely. She feels the weight of life. Life's partner is gone. But she's able to help others. And if she had a family, it would seem that they're no longer available, wherever they may be. Now, says Paul to Timothy, that's the widow that will make the list of registration, and she will need to be supported and helped by the company. Now let me point out the other three to you. For example, in verse 4, there's the widow that has family members. And let me say just as I pass by, that in family life today, with all the social programs that we have in this country and in Canada and wherever else, that the families that have widows and have older parents in the family circle, in whatever way we can, it's our responsibility to look after them. Now, I know that that doesn't go down too good with certain folk, but as we look back over life, are both parents. They were godly folk. My dad was 40 years of age whenever I was born. And whenever I was 17, he was 57. He was a godly man. And you see, there was a generation gap. 17 years of age, I wasn't saved. I was far away from God. I wasn't interested. And I just want to use it as an illustration, because there's some here today and you might feel the same about your parents. And I used to say to myself, he hasn't a clue. He doesn't know anything. He's born 40 years before our generation. He doesn't know what it's all about. You ever feel like that toward your parents or your grandparents? It's a strange thing that whenever I was saved at 20 years of age, all of a sudden he became very intelligent. And I recognized that here's a man of God. See? Along the years of life, God was kind to him. In an unblemished service, he was taken home at 92. We have to care for those that need our help. The world doesn't do that. That's the next class of widow. Verse number 4. Here's the third class. The widow that liveth in pleasure, being dead while she liveth. Verse 6. And then the younger widows that he addresses from verses 11 through 14. And you might have other categories in those verses, fair enough. But there are four groups at least in this category. And I'm going to suggest to the brethren, maybe you don't agree with me, that's fair enough, that these are all believers. In this section, Take a look at it, do you see, and think about it. Someone says, I never thought of that. Well, for example, the widow that liveth in pleasure, being dead while she liveth. It's a possibility that that dear sister got away from God. And linking it in with some of the younger widows, he's saying to them now, don't put them on the list. These other three categories, don't put them on the list. Why? Well, there's the possibility that the younger widow will marry again. By the way, brethren, there's scripture for second marriages. 1 Corinthians 7 and verse 37 teaches me that she's only free to marry again when her husband passes on. Hope you get the message. We have another category of brethren, and they believe that it's one woman for life. Well, it says here that he wants the younger woman to marry. And young widows are included. Guide the house, bear children, and all the rest of it. And that's not a popular ministry today in our world. If they're going to be preserved and kept, that equates with 1 Timothy chapter 2. There's a spear that God has given to our beloved sisters to raise the family, guide the home, that God will be honored in all things. Now I take it that some of these younger sisters had likely made vows when their spouse died. I want you young sisters to listen carefully to this, all of us, for that matter. And the day arrived in their history when they got the urge to marry again. It's the most natural thing in the world. But they came to the crisis in life. And they couldn't wait for the Lord to bring them another partner into their life. And they're tempted to marry an unbeliever, a pagan. And if you do any research in Ephesus at this particular time, it was pretty obvious that it could always be a potential that could take place. And some have turned after Satan already, and Satan has won the day. And it would appear that some went this route. And in earlier years, they'd made devotions to the Lord, and they wanted to love the Lord till the last day of life, and they would never marry again. But circumstances in life changed, and their vow, they couldn't handle it. They married unsaved partners. If you're in that category today or contemplating it, you've never verbalized it to one, I want to tell you, honestly, there's danger in that path. Now I know kind folk tell me all kinds of other things that happened and all the rest of it, that unsaved partners were married, one was saved, the other wasn't, and God was kind, absolutely. But the general tenor of the scripture is that we're not to be unequally yoked in matrimony to an unsaved person. What agreement has light with darkness and so on? If you're there today, will you research it one more time? Will you analyze what's involved? And from your heart, go to your head and think it through. In our short experience, I could stand here and tell you of all kinds of problems along that line would break your very heart. Word to the wise is sufficient. Let me say a word on a very, very, very delicate subject, elders. I was telling another audience recently, there's certain folk in the assemblies on the love, 1 Timothy chapter 5, verses 17 to the end, because they want to get at the elders. And we have come today with a burden on our heart that the assemblies of God will be preserved and kept till Jesus comes. And I want to tell you honestly, my beloved brethren and sisters in Christ, it will largely depend on the elders in your assembly and in our assembly if that company will be preserved. Now I know that God is sovereign and he can use anyone. But in the general trend of events, the elders, they're godly. They'll preserve the assembly. If there are other things and other motives, mightn't go as well. Beloved, today, could I address you, beloved brother who accepts responsibility in your assembly? Thank God for the shepherds among us. You'll never be able to raise the saints higher in their spiritual experience than you and I are in ours. Illustration. Moses could never have led the people of God to Mount Sinai had he not had dealings with God, first of all, in the backside of the desert on the mountain when he saw the fire and the Lord drawing near and all the rest of it. Now, if I have read this section correctly, there are four categories of elders. Let me point them out to you. Verses 17, first of all, the recognition of elders in the assembly, you see, they have behavior incumbent on them as well. The elder that leads well. Now, let me tell you, it's not so much rule. The elders don't rule. The elders lead. Acts 20 and 28, they're among the flock. They're not so much over the flock. They're among. Brother came to an assembly here. So, the first category of elders, the elder that leads well, verse 17. The next category, the elder in general, verse 19. Against an elder, receive not an accusation. That's elders in general. Could be any elder. Number 3. Verse 20, the elders of sin. Now, I do make you there's some beloved brethren here, and you're better taught than I am. Thank God for that. And you turn around and you tell me the very opposite. And you believe that it's the folk that brought the accusation to the elder, and they couldn't substantiate it, and they have to be rebuked before all. Well, that could be. But I want to submit today that elders is the context. I want to suggest to you that elders can sin. That's the third category. And then the fourth category, the selection of the potential elder. Verses 22 through the end. Now just a very brief word, because I'm really scared to talk about this. That is my heart before God. We have no axe to grind with anyone. I'm telling you. Do you want to see God's assembly preserved? Do you want to see the standard maintained to the glory of God till we hear the shout? You've got a shepherd heart today. You'll follow what this book says. The elder that leads well is to be counted worthy of double honor.
I want to suggest to the brethren that the context is respect and financial support. That's in keeping with the widows in the previous section. He had to be selective as to who would be financially supported. And in these days, the elder was likely moving around Ephesus, and he hadn't even time to do his daily toil. He was so involved in the work of God. And Paul's reminding Timothy, tell the folk there, they have a certain responsibility toward the elders. Somebody asked me recently, does that mean that the elder in God's assembly should have a weekly salary from the company? Never. Don't believe a word of it. But it's nice to see a godliness along that line. And just keep it in mind. See, in North America and in Canada, in many incidents, this doesn't apply. Well, there are parts of the world tonight, this morning, where there are men and they're laboring and they're toiling for the saints. They're not in full-time service, so-called. They're not a commended worker. But they're moving around in a local capacity to help the people of God. And he's saying, pay them respect. Give them honor. First Thessalonians 5, esteem them very highly in love for their work's sake. You see, brethren, to any group of elders, to any assembly, each beloved brother brings a spiritual expertise to the company. They're all different. Different personalities, different capacities, different intake, different approaches, all the rest of it. But in all as an aggregate, if the Spirit of God has his way, are there to preserve the company of God's people. I'll give you an illustration. We have a godly man in our assembly. Some of you might know him. He meets with the brethren there in Woodland Drive, Vancouver, Brother Robert Lee. He was saved in Vancouver through Harold Paisley in 1969. That man is godly, he's a shepherd heart. And finally the day came when he sat down with us. First time he was with us, he said, brethren, I can't open the scriptures the way you can. I'm not a minister of the word. I can't open the scriptures like others. I'm of no value. I said to him, Robert, you're the only one here tonight that knows the Oriental mind and knows how Orientals think and knows their reaction in a crisis in their life, in home life or whatever kind of life, and you're here to help us. That beloved brother has proved invaluable to our assembly. He buried his wife. Since I was here last, they had the responsibility of the funeral. It's a very touching thing. His daughter was raised in the gospel and she's not saved today. And her husband has no time for the Bible. They sat there in the funeral home, deeply touched. He took it in his stride and with dignity. See, he can comfort others because he's been through it himself. I hope today you respect the elders in your assembly. Oh, and they mightn't just be the way you want them. But if God has placed them there and they've got care, they're worthy of double honor. They're worthy of your respect and help. Will you help them? He says here about these other folk. Against an elder receive not an accusation, but in the mouth of two or three witnesses. Here's a scripture placed in the Bible to protect the godly elder. As he moves in his service for God and the assembly or the work of God, there is the possibility that some would get jealous. And some would have a clash of personalities. And they would start, did you hear about so-and-so? What he did. Well, this scripture teaches me that unless the allegation or the charge can be supported in the mouth of two or three witnesses, reject it. Not too long ago, a brother said to me, there's Mr. So-and-so, and he should not be an elder. I said, why not? Because of this and this and this and this and this. I said to him, brother, can you prove it?
He hung his head. I quoted on this scripture. You bring the two or three witnesses and we'll face them. These are very, very delicate things. Dear brother backed off. Then the elders that sin rebuke before all. That's a very, very solemn thing. In the Old Testament, when a leader amongst God's people sinned, he had to bring a higher sin offering than the other common folk in the camp of Israel. God puts a premium on those that go wrong, that are in leadership. Oh, the Lord preserve every one of us this morning. I hope that no elder here will ever have to be rebuked. My short experience in the assembly life, I've seen it done. And it was done that others might fear. Now that principle is true for any believer, I might add. See why I said to his behavior? Let me finish it. The selection of potential elders. We thank God today for every elder among us. We sit at your feet. And those who are godly and older than I am, I thank God for every man that has helped me along the road. One by one, our beloved brethren are going home to heaven. Who's going to take their place? There was a call went out last night from the ministry here that maybe some young man or young sister would hear the call of God to move into lands across the sea or this country to go as a commendant worker. It's a great need, but there's another great need, elders among us. There are likely potential elders right in this audience today. For those who have a care for the assembly, here's a guideline. Paul's telling Timothy, now look, whenever you get into Ephesus, there are folk, and you might think, looking right up front, hey, there's a great individual for the job. He says, lay hands suddenly on no man. Why? Because some folk have a personality. Now listen carefully to this. That have certain characteristics that would bar them from being a shepherd amongst God's people. And it's not evident till you get to know them for a while. So Paul is saying to Timothy, don't be too hasty. Just watch. Keep your eyes open and your ears open and see how they handle it. Others are different. You know right away they haven't got what it takes. By the same token, those who have the good works and the personality and the spirituality and all that it takes, it's right up front. We bow and thank God. And others, you might think now they don't have it, but it takes a wee while to manifest. Somebody says to me now, right now, how would I know that I'm a potential shepherd amongst God's people? I would like to tell you this, that gift that God imparts to a brother, he gets it at conversion. It's there in embryo, and the individual might never know it until God brings them into circumstances where they have to make a little move to help others. And before you know where you are, the traits of a shepherd heart are manifested. When's the last time now you called a brother or a sister on the phone and said, now, can I come round and have a little chat with you? You don't have to be in the official oversight to do that. When's the last time you went to a home or to a hospital to a sick one and sat down beside them and opened up the scripture just in a very simple way? You don't know what to do? I would suggest take your believer's hymn book. Read an appropriate hymn. And if you're a singer, sing it. I could tell you story after story this very year of what has happened in our area. There's one young sister, and some in this audience know her. She lives two blocks from where we live there. 33 years of age. Maybe we should put her on the prayer list. Her name is Nellie Hutchison. From the Carlton Assembly in the Vancouver area. She's 33 years of age with four young children and a young husband. She's had severe surgery for cancer. I was at their side recently. With their little ones around their feet. Commended them to God. You're here today in your middle 30s and you're a little family around your feet and something like this takes place. I want to tell you, it shatters you. We all need each other. We need help. God, stir our hearts this morning as the day goes on. He might speak to us. Relationships in the assembly, verses 1 and 2, 1 Timothy 5. Registration of widows from the assembly. Chapter 5, verses 3 through 16. Recognition of elders. 17 to the end of that chapter. The Lord stir our hearts this morning and speak to us that we might be more useful till we see the face of our Lord Jesus Christ.